So back in October, a very dear person in my life contracted an infection. And some in our family were not that concerned, but thankfully others were concerned. And so we called the doctor, and or we wrote an email to the doctor and sent a picture and kind of showed him what was going on. And said, "Hey, you know, should we put this ointment on or anything?" And then he wrote us an email back and said, "Actually, I'd like you to go to emergency care tonight or come by my office the next day." And so that next day we didn't go to his office, but we went to a doctor here in Katy. And after we saw the doctor here in Katy, the pediatrician said, "Yeah, it was really good. You needed to come and see me because if you didn't address this infection, it could have spread to his brain, you know, and done serious damage to his brain." And so thankfully we saw the doctor, and the doctor put us on some oral antibiotics and other antibiotics. And then within 2 weeks, this dear person in my life, was cured and healed. And so was very thankful about that. And, you know, sin is kind of like a disease in our lives. And just like it was important for some concerned people in our family to confront the infection, so it is important for us to, as a church and as individuals, to address and confront sin in our own lives and in the lives of our church. Now we're going through the nine marks of a healthy church, and I believe we're on Mark 6, and I know you've been tracking along all of these marks along with me. And this morning, the mark that we are going to be addressing is under the broad title of church discipline. But I would like to kind of rephrase it as confronting or confront with care. Okay. So how can we be a healthy church? One of the critical issues is, as a church, confronting with care. And so we're going to focus mostly on the how of confronting with care, church discipline. There's four levels of church discipline that's lined out in the passage of Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. And so you can go ahead and turn in your Bibles there. Now, we have conveniently four quadrants in our worship assembly. We have quadrant one here, quadrant two, quadrant three, and quadrant four. And so if you can kind of think with me of the four stages of the confrontation, that kind of gives us a little structural visual image to go with. And we're going to be camping mostly on quadrant one this morning, guys. So my helper's here this morning. And we'll be using some people point, like to kind of mix it up a little bit in terms of our communication styles. We'll be using our people point presentation this morning. So I appreciate quadrant one helping us out here a lot. So if you can kind of think through with me, how can we confront with care? And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. So turn with me there. Matthew chapter 18. Starting in verse 15. And I'll be reading from NASB. I also have the NIV right here next to me. And I believe some of you also use the ESV. Is that right? As one person said, that's the extra spiritual version. So he likes to use the ESV. But so starting off in verse 15, we have, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. So here is our first step as we seek to confront with care. And that is to go to the person privately. OK, go to the person privately and in love. Now, I want us to, as we look at this first level, I want us to ask the basic interrogative questions. And so the first question we have is, bing, when? When? Can I have when help us out, please? Bing. Bing. Thank you. When? Okay, when? When do we approach the person privately? When do we do that? What does it say? If your brother sins. So when a person sins, this is when we approach them personally. Now, this sin, it could be an interpersonal sin against someone. And what does it say in the ESV, the extra spiritual version? If your brother sins against you. Actually, it says that in the old NIV also. The NASB leaves it out. It doesn't say against you. This is based on a translation decision that translators made looking at the Greek manuscripts. Okay? Some of the oldest Greek manuscripts do not include against you. And so some translations have chosen not to include that. But I think that's okay. I think that's a good principle for us, that it doesn't really matter what kind of sin it is. It could be a sin that I commit against a brother interpersonally, or it could be something that I sin on my own, if you will. But this is the when. It's when a person sins. Okay? Now, who? Ding! Who? Thank you. Who do we approach? The person that we approach is a brother, right? A brother or a sister. I think some versions say, the most recent NIV says brother or sister. They're trying to be more non-gender and that kind of thing. But it's someone who's in the family of God. That's the who. So if we see a pre-Christian, someone who's not a Christian yet, sinning, we don't necessarily try to approach them and correct their behavior. Not necessarily. Because that's what we expect non-Christians, pre-Christians to do, right? To pagans to live as pagans. And so if we see non-Christians sinning, we want to approach them with the gospel, with a relationship with Jesus, which will hopefully have an effect on their behavior, right? You got to be changed first, right? Remember my sermon 2 weeks ago, you got to be changed from death to life, and then you can start to live out. You got to have the new birth, right? You guys, I know you all remember my sermon from 2 weeks ago, right? I'm sure you did. Okay, so you got to be changed from the inside. You got to have a new birth first, and then you can start to live in behavioral ways like a Christian. So as we confront with care with people with their sin, it's someone who's in the family of God. OK, that's the win. All right. Now. How? Ding. How? How? Thank you. Thank you. How? OK. How do we want to approach this person? Let's look in the text again. Go and, all right, now there's two things here. The first is to go. The first is to go. So if you're going to have my people point presentation, go or initiate. Okay? Go or initiate. That is the first how. We need to take the initiative and go and approach the person. If the person has sinned, those who are spiritual, those who are more mature, take the initiative to talk to the person. In any interpersonal relationship or conflict, it's always the more spiritual, the more spiritually mature person who goes, who takes the initiative. So if you think a person has sinned against you or has sinned, then you go. If you think you have sinned against another person and they're offended by that, then you also go. Where does that come from? Matthew 5, 22 to 24. Remember that? If you are presenting your offering at the altar and then you remember, oh, somebody has something against me. What are you supposed to do? Leave your offering at the altar and then do what? Go, right? You take the initiative and you go if you think someone has something against you as well. So the how, the first point under how is that we go. Someone has said, he who has the toes goes. What they're saying is that if you've been offended, you go. I disagree with that a little bit. If you've been offended, yes, you go. But if you've also stepped on the other person's toes, you think you've stepped on his toes, then you go too. It's the more spiritually mature person in the scriptures who's called to go. Okay, so that's the first part of how. Now, the second point in how is, bing, reprove. Now, some, the ESV here, it says tell. The NAS says reprove. And the NIV says to point out. So let's just use the NAS and say we reprove. So this is what we want to do. We want to point out, to show a person that what they are doing is contrary to what God wants them to do. So we're going to go and reprove them. We're going to point out. We're going to talk to them, have a conversation with them. Now, there's three things to keep in mind, okay, as we go and reprove the person. The first one is to go privately. Privately. We're going to go privately. Ding! Thank you. We're to go privately, okay? That's what it says. Isn't that what it says here in verse 15? What does it say? Reprove him in private. Or the NIV says, go and just between the two of you. That's what the NIV says. Now, this is very critical. This word is monos. The Greek word is monos, where we get our words monologue, monotheism, mano y mano, right? One on one. So that's very important to keep in mind. Talk to the person, not about the person, right? We don't want to go off, if we've seen a person in some kind of sin, start gossiping about them or going and talking to others about them. We want to go to the person himself first. And I think there's exceptions to this. For example, if you're in leadership, you might, as a leadership team, kind of consult. If you've seen a person caught up in some kind of a sin, then you might consult about it and then go talk to him. Or two parents, they might talk about their child and say, we should talk to Johnny about this. But in general, you want to go to the person directly, privately, mano y mano first. Okay? The second thing is that we want to talk to the person gently. Gently. Yes, thank you. Gently. And we have some hand lotion just to illustrate with us that we need to be gentle as we approach this person. Okay? Can I have someone read Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, please. Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2. Okay. If anyone is caught in a sin, approach him with gentleness, right? Okay, and then can I also have someone read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25? So we have Galatians 6, 1 and 2, 2 Timothy 2, verse 25. Thank you. So those who are in opposition, approach them with gentleness, hoping that God will bring them to the knowledge of the truth. So we want to do it gently. We want to do it in love. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 5 and 6 says, "Better is open rebuke than love that is concealed." Better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. So my attitude as I approach the person is going to be out of love. It's going to be gentle. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Proverbs chapter 27, verses 5 and 6. So, privately, gently, and lastly, introspectively. Introspectively, okay? Our brother Lawrence read Galatians 6, 1 to 2, which says, "Each one looking to yourself so that knowing that you too might be tempted in that area that you're approaching the person about." We also have Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 to 5. Could you read that for us, Eve, please? Okay, thank you. So we want to look at our own life first and make sure that we're as clean as we can be in that area. Take the speck out of our own life first before we take it out of our brother's eyes. Okay? So again, the when do we approach the person? When a person sins, right? And the who do we approach? Someone in the family of God, right? A brother or a sister. That word, again, by the way, is adelphos. Adelphos, which is where we get our city, what? Philadelphia, right? Which is the city of what? Brotherly love, right? So it's the when is when someone sins. The who is someone in the family of God. The how is we go, we initiate, and we reprove. And how do we reprove? We reprove privately, gently, and introspectively, looking to ourselves first. Now why? Why do we do it? Okay, we're still in quadrant one here. Why? Yes, thank you. Why? Okay. Why? Let's look back, and it says, if he listens to you, you have won your brother. So we have a couple of goals here. The first, why, is we want the person to listen to us. We want the person to listen. Yes, listen. And the word here is akouo. Okay, akouo, which is where we get our word, what? Acoustics, right? Acoustics. So we want the person to listen to us, but it's more than a physiological listening. It's something that comes into our hearts that affects our faith, and in faith we respond in obedience to God. That's our goal. We want the person to respond by listening to us. And then it goes on to say, you have won your brother. So the goal is, we want to win. We want that W, right? We want the person to be restored. We want them to be gotten right with God. So we're hoping that the person will respond in obedience, will see the error of his ways and put his faith in God and repent and come to know, walk in the truth. Okay, so that's the first quadrant. That's the first level. And so I really want to encourage us as we root for one another, as we speak into one another's lives, as Minister Stan encouraged us last week. You know, that's why we encourage people to get into discipleship groups, community groups, fellowship groups, is so that we have these relationships of openness with one another where I can speak into your life and you can speak into my life and call out one another as Brother Stan encouraged us to, hey, you know, you're on this too much. And to do it one-on-one, person-to-person, just last week, I had to talk to a brother in the congregation, and I was seeing something that I wasn't sure about why this brother's something going on in his family and wasn't coming to corporate worship so much. And so I approached him and I said, privately and gently, and also looking to my own life first and saying, okay, how am I doing in terms of gathering with others and my family gathering with others? But as I approached him privately and personally, I was able to understand where he was coming from and that it wasn't as bad as I thought the situation was. He actually explained that, oh yeah, this is just a temporary situation and I really don't like it. But after a few months, we're definitely going to be supporting this, our family to participate in corporate worship. So it helps if we go to the person and talk to them directly. We don't go talk to other people about him, but we go to the person and talk to them directly. And then we can clear up a lot of misunderstandings. And hopefully they will listen, right? And they will be won. But if that doesn't happen, then we go to the next quadrant. And that is quadrant two. And what does it say in quadrant two? Well, let's look in verse 16. Quadrant two says, if he does not listen, does not akuo, right? Take one or two more with you so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. So if he's not convinced with mano y mano, then you grab another brother or sister and the two or the three of you go and talk to the person again. And this is both to make sure that you have all the facts straight, you know, about what's going on, and also to encourage the person that you're talking to that, hey, this is a serious situation. We really need to deal with this. So that's the second quadrant, okay, of confronting sin in our lives and in our church is taking one or two with you and talking to the person as a group. So this is a very helpful thing. Even just this last week, I had been having some problems, communication problems with a person in my own life. And I've been trying to deal with this person directly for a long time. And it's just going nowhere. And so thankfully, I was able to call up another friend of mine and say, hey, look, I really need some help with this. And she was like, oh, you don't need to deal with that. And so thankfully she was willing to just kind of give a little assistance, give a little help. So like if you get bullied at school, right, they tell you to try to talk to the bully yourself first. But if that doesn't work, then what are you supposed to do next, Nathaniel? if you talk to the bully first and he doesn't respond, what are you supposed to do next? Tell an adult, right? Tell someone else, right, brother? Okay. Brother, son. Okay. He's both to meet, brother and son. Okay. And I got to make sure he's listening to his own dad's sermon, right? Okay. So you bring in another person. So let's just take a hypothetical situation. Let's say there's two family members. They're having a really tough time in communicating with one another, right? And so let's just say it's the daughter, just very disrespectful, or the son, very disrespectful to the parent. Rolls their eyes whenever mom's talking to them, or just says these caustic, disrespectful things, okay? So mom talks to the son and says, please don't disrespect me like that. But it doesn't go anywhere. So what happens next is that a family member approaches a youth counselor or youth leader and says, hey, I need some help in talking to my family member. And so then the youth counselor or the family member, a youth minister, gets involved and helps out and maybe meets with the two of them and clears up some things. And maybe they find out some things about the mom in the process that, you know, the mom's kind of a little judgmental, a little critical here in how she constantly communicates with me. And so we help out the situation. Okay? But, so that's quadrant two. Now, moving on, what if that still doesn't work? What if, you know, after Minister Stan and has gone and talked to them too, and the family member is still rolling the eyes and disrespectful every day and acting very poorly, then I think it'll take care of it most of the time. But if it doesn't, we move on to quadrant three. And it says in verse 17, and if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. Okay, so that's quadrant three. We tell it to the church. And what happens here is that we give in very nondescript terms. So-and-so is in a sinful behavior, and he has not responded personally. He has not responded to two or three. And so we are telling the church, we're bringing it to greater levels, and we are calling upon Joe to come before God and confess his sin. Okay. And hopefully now I've known and read about some churches who've had to go to that level. Okay. And of presenting a church discipline before the whole church. And hopefully usually we can settle it in quadrant one and quadrant two. Okay. But if it does get to quadrant three, most of my observation is that the person is very hard-hearted, okay? But hopefully, he would respond to that. He's given a time period to respond and to confess. But if that doesn't work, then we move to quadrant four. And quadrant four goes on to say in verse 17, if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. And so this is a very serious level of discipline, that we treat a person as if they're not even a believer in Jesus. Okay? And so what that involves is that the person may still come to corporate worship, but he will be treated as an unbeliever in that context. So we would ask him not to take of the communion. If he was a member, then we would say, you are a member no longer in good standing, or we revoke your membership. Okay, if it gets to that level. And I do know of some churches that I have been involved with because of a case of sexual immorality, for example, that it did reach to that level, and the person was even asked not even to come to corporate worship because of the way that they were treating people as they were on the church premises. I know of another situation where a husband was acting in a way towards his wife that was unholy, that was sinful. And so they went through the process, and then they put him under church discipline, and the people, as a part of the church, when they related to him outside of church premises, were to relate to him in a way that was to call him towards repentance. But he was welcome to come to corporate worship, but he just was not allowed to take in part of communion. Now most of the times if it does get to that level, then most people don't even come to the church that has them under discipline. But hopefully we won't get to that level. Okay? Hopefully we can take care of it in quadrant one or quadrant two. But if we do get to that level, there's just a couple of things I would like us to keep in mind as we do this. First is this sin, I think it should be something outward. Something outward. Quadrant four? Yes, outward. Okay. Outward. I mean, it's hard to judge the heart, right? So usually these are clear behavioral things, usually in the realm of some kind of sexual immorality or something like that. And so it's usually something outward. It's hard to say, oh, I think you're proud, so I'm going to put you under church discipline. Okay, so it has to be the words that they continuously say that demonstrates that. A second thing is that we want it to be, this is a little hard to say, but just serious, right? When we get to this level, it's something that's serious. I mean, serious in the level of the effect that it can have upon others, as well as the nature of it, as well as the consistency of it, right? So we probably are not going to church discipline someone if they're always late. Okay, I mean, even though that's in this culture is a sign of disrespect, and we want to encourage people to be on time, you know, even if they're late every day, we probably aren't going to excommunicate them, right? Okay, or if they're rolling their eyes, but of course, if they're pulling out a knife and attacking the family member, then yes, we want to take action on that pretty quickly, pretty swiftly. Okay, and then the last thing is. Unrepentant. Yes, thank you. Unrepentant. So I can work with someone who at least mentally or emotionally says, "Yes, I'm trying to come out of this. I'm struggling with this. I know it's at least intellectually they agree that it's wrong and that they would like to change." Okay, I don't have to bring them into full church discipline if there's at least some softness and repentance in their heart. But if it's a hard heart, then we do have to go to quadrants three and four if one and two doesn't work. All right. Okay. Well, so this morning we've talked about a sixth mark of a healthy church. We've talked about it in four quadrants. Four levels. We've camped mainly on quadrant one because I hope we can take care, become healthy, mostly as we deal with quadrant one. We've talked about the when, which is when a person sins. We've talked about the who, and who is it? It's an adelphos, right? A brother, a person in the family of God. We've talked about the how. We want to go. We want to initiate. We want to reprove. And part of reproving is to do this privately, gently in love, and introspectively. And then we've also talked about the why we want to do it. We want the person to listen, right? And we want the person to be won over. The goal is restoration. But if it doesn't work in quadrant one, we move to two, three, and then four. But as we get to the later levels, we want to make sure that we're dealing with something serious, outward, and unrepentant. So when I was coming back from the mission field, I had been working with a coworker, not from our organization, but from another organization. And he was communicating in ways with people on his team that was just really rubbed them the wrong way. And it came across as very disrespectful. It came across as very proud. And so before he went on his furlough, before he went on his home assignment, the team leader, others on his team would approach him and talk to him and let him know the impact that he was having on them. But it still wasn't working. And so before he went on his furlough, on his home assignment, the team leader communicated with his home church and said, "You have to work with this guy. You have to help him out. He comes across as very proud, very judgmental, thinking like he knows all the answers, that only his way is the way to go. So please work with him. Otherwise, he cannot come back and be a part of our team." And so thankfully, he went home for a period of time, maybe 6 months or so, and was in discipleship, was in mentoring, was in counseling, and had gotten to a point in that time where there had been some progress in his life, so that he was permitted to come back and be a part of the team. And so we praise God for that. So let's be a healthy church. Let's be a church that confronts and that confronts with care. Okay? Let's pray together. Lord, we just praise you for your goodness, for your love. Praise you for your great grace in our lives. And Lord, I know that some of us in here are actually pretty good at confronting. And so I pray that for those of us who are really good at that and maybe do that too much, that you would soften us to maybe pray for people more and talk to them a little less. But for those of us, Lord, who don't like to confront, we pray, Lord, that you put it in our hearts, even now, just to think through, is there someone that we need to talk to this week about an issue or about a potential sin in their lives? And would you give us that discernment and conviction, Lord, to encourage to approach them even this week.